Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Hope you had a fabulous week. We had an incredible week, according to what I have seen. I woke up to Joe Biden having a 38% approval rating and Kamala a 28%. Isn't that pathetic that this is what we think of our president? But how can you not think that after listening to some of his spokespeople, especially the lady who was laughing about inflation and how heating is going to cost a lot more? Oh, really? And I'm sure that her income will enable her to handle it. I don't think many of Americans will be able to handle it. And then, of course, we had the incredible, disgraceful display of 13 Republicans who actually voted for the atrocious, I would have to say, make-believe transportation bill, because I don't believe anything that they say that they're going to do, because they never do it. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, Florida Citizens Alliance. Please go to their website, goflca.com, and join us. Learn what we're doing in Florida and copy it for your state. That's the idea of states. One state has a great idea, other states can follow along. That's the purpose of why we had 50 states, 50 different groups of people all doing things differently. Well, this morning I happened to read an article about education, of course. That's my favorite topic, because I believe everything is connected. Everything has a plan. There are no coincidences, and all plans are based on lies. Well, here there was an article written by a millennial, and she really did a good job describing how the millennials will be screwed over by the economy. And in a sense, she's right. But she never points at what the reason is as to why these things are happening. She has pinpointed they are happening, and she's absolutely right. But again, she never says why. She says her parents don't understand why she doesn't own a house, a car, or a retirement savings account. My generation has fewer job opportunities, more student debt, and outrageous housing prices. It's far worse for us than it was for previous generations. And she is a writer based out of Mississippi. But the one thing that she's not saying was actually followed by another article that I read, which said the scores of the Americans as far as their reading and math ability has decreased by at least 2 years following the pandemic. Well, the folks, they're going to blame everything on the pandemic, and they are going to blame everything on the unvaxxed. Like I said the other day, the unvaxxed will soon be treated the same way the Jews were treated when they had to wear a star. So by having your vaccine passport is no different than the way the Jews were treated. You will be shut out from every single thing that this government can shut you out from, because they have to give you that jab. Whether or not you need it, whether or not you have immunity, doesn't make any difference to them. They have to give you the jab. Well, why would they have to do that? Money and power. They make money when you get the jab, and they get power over you once you take it. So again, let's go back for a minute as to why the millennials are having such difficulty a lot of it, I believe, is if you look at the baby boomer generation, what did we do that was different? Well, we actually learned how to read, write, and do math. We actually learned that economy is based on profit, not on debt. A good, robust economy is based on people working, not people getting a government handout. And we actually learned that the one with the biggest debt is not the winner. We learned things like that. And that enabled us to start and create our own businesses. But today, listen to The Great Reset, and there is a wonderful article on the Mises Institute, and I will put that in my post. They did a 5-part series on The Great Reset. I suggest you all read it, because in there you will find their goal. You will own nothing. And how are they doing that? I believe by decreasing what's going on in education. And that carries over to every industry. And I was very sad to see that the American Marines lost an exercise, and they lost. How could the American Marines lose? Could it be because they're spending more time on being woke than they are on actually learning how to win a war? Folks, we have a lot to talk about today, and I have asked a friend, good friend, former Representative Mike Hill from Escambia County, Florida, to join me today. Now, Mike was in the military. Mike, you were a captain, I believe?
That's correct. I was in the Air Force, served 10 years in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980.
How do you think your training would have been if instead of training on strategy, you were training on wokeness?
Well, if that were the case, we would have saw back when I was active duty, the same kind of results, as you just mentioned, that we saw a week or two ago when the U.S. Marines lost an exercise to the British Marine. Now, I will go on to say this, Karen, in that when it is in an actual situation, I am confident the U.S. Marines will not let us down. They do not lose battles when those devil dogs go out and fight like they have been trained. The only time that they tend to not be successful is when politicians and bureaucrats try to control what they do and when to do it. But when you get those U.S. Marines, you give them free rein, you give them the ability to do what they are trained to do, they will come through every time. Even though we saw this news article where they lost to the British Marines, that is, I believe, a wake-up call, and that we have to get out of the way. I think he needs to resign. This Defense Secretary Austin, we need to get General Milley. He needs to resign also. Both of those clowns need to get out of the way before they do real damage to our military beyond what they have already, which puts this nation's defense in peril.
Yeah, I don't think people understand the dangers of this woke garbage with CRT and how their diversity, equity, and inclusion is filtering through everything that we're doing. But I agree with you, Mike. I cannot imagine anyone on any battlefield in any skirmish that could possibly come up that they would turn around and say, you're white or you're black or you're whatever, and I'm not going to have your back. I cannot imagine. I think our Marines, I think our armed services are made up of some of the most incredible human beings possible on this earth. And I think you are right. We are doing a tremendous disservice to them. And let's go back and take a look at that, because didn't these people sign an oath of office? You signed an oath of office, Mike. What did that mean? What does that mean that they can go out and just damn America? How does that work if they have pledged an oath of office when they take office?
Well, first of all, Karen, you bring up a good point. They need to recognize and realize what that oath of office means. Not only our military, but also elected officials and those who are appointed to offices to where they have given charge over the population. And that oath of office is very important. It says, I do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And I take this oath without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. Now, what that oath means, Karen, is that when you take that oath, it's not just between you and the official administering the oath, even though they're included. That oath is not just between you and the American people, even though they are also included. That oath is between you and the living God. You are promising God that you are going to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that's why we seal it with a very solemn, so help me God. It is an act of worship. And if people who are taking that oath would understand that and take it seriously, then we would not find ourselves in this mess that we're in right now with this Biden regime, with all these leftists who had just recently passed a $1.5 trillion spending bill on which the vast majority of it did not even need to have money spent on it. It is nothing more than a leftist socialist takeover of our economy, and we must resist and put a stop to it.
Well, resisting and putting a stop to it is exactly where we need to be. So let's talk about that for a minute. You were a state elected official, Mike. How important is it that the constituents be in touch with their elected officials? Because a lot of times I get, oh, that's a federal issue, we don't have to discuss that. But the federal issues bleed right into the state issues, which bleed into the local issues. So I think we really have to understand all of it. But how important is it that a constituent be in contact with their elected official?
It is very important, Karen, and they should do it before that person is elected. In other words, they need to vet each candidate. Candidates are starting to file now and get ready for the elections coming up next year, 2022, where I believe that qualifying here in Florida is April, I believe, and the primary is in August. Candidates are starting to line up right now. And it is so important, very important for citizens, average citizens, to start vetting these candidates. And I don't mean just by reading what they have on their websites. I don't mean just reading what you see in a paper. I mean attending meetings where they are there and asking them hard questions and demanding answers. First of all, do they know what their oath of office says that should they get elected, they are going to have to say in order to occupy your seat? You cannot occupy that seat without saying that oath of office. And if you're going to swear an oath to the Constitution, have you read the Constitution since high school? Even if you did it back then, you may have still just skated by enough to pass your civics exam. Have you read that document, that Constitution, which you are swearing an oath to? Ask them these tough questions. I think that there are at least three things they should look for when you are vetting a candidate. First of all, is it a person of faith? Do they have high moral standards? Are they a person of integrity? Do they think right? Do they act right? Do they live right? All of that is important because it is going to determine how they are going to legislate. And then finally, do they love freedom? Do they champion the rights of the individual? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, equal protection under the law, and a constitution that limits their power by the consent of the governed. I would say make sure you get in touch with these candidates. If there's someone who is in office right now, get in touch with them. They need to hear from you frequently and on a level that where you demand a response back. Don't accept these little canned email responses, or when you call, you get a recording that says, we'll be back in touch with you, and you never hear from them. Do not accept that. If you have to, go see them in their office.
Absolutely. And now they are home. This week they are off, and now is a good time to talk to them. And going along with what Mike said, these are so important, folks. This is the crux of it. And if your politician has been in office before, go back and check their record. What did they actually vote for? What things have they said? Are they on top of things? Are they in tune with what your beliefs are? You're never going to find somebody who agrees with you 100%. But if you take the two most important topics to you and you ask that politician how they feel about it and what they will do about it, that's the other important thing. I could say, oh, I hate the fact that our kids are not learning reading. Okay, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it if Biden sends another jet load of planes down into Florida and saying, well, we're in the state and that's federal and we can't get involved with what the feds do? That's not a politician. You fight. You say, I don't care. This is wrong. And what's going on to our communities is wrong. And you have to be the one out front doing that. I like to ask them in the beginning something that Trevor Loudon turned me on to, and he said, ask them, do they believe that America is turning towards authoritarianism? And if they say no, or what's that, then you get to say next. If they say yes, then say, what will you do about it? And the things that Mike talked about are the things that are most important. For heaven's sakes, they have to know the Constitution. Have they actually read it? When was the last time they read it? When they were in fifth grade? It doesn't work that way. This is a rock solid agreement with we the people and our government. And the objective of it is just like Mike said, it's to shrink the government, not to increase the government. So anybody that wants to increase the government has not read the Constitution and doesn't understand what the job of the government is. And then ask them how they feel about the change of culture. And I'd like to talk about that, Mike, because you did a phenomenal documentary on the culture changing and what we are losing as a result. I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing, but can you share that with and tell us where to find it?
Yes, Karen. It was a documentary that was put together. It's called American Monument. It was done by Last Stand Studios. And I was so pleased to be a part of that. Some of the others who were there was Eric Metakis, as you mentioned, Trevor Loudon, who's also just a great person, Donald Livingston, Mark David Hall. I was included in it, Philip Lee, Nancy Markham. And what they did was they went around the U.S. documenting how there's this cancel culture that is going around right now, which is intent on destroying our cultural and artistic history because they want to replace it with a socialist Marxist culture. What they are looking to do is erase all the good things that we have had in our past, along with some bad things, but you cannot erase them, whether they're good or they're bad. If it's good, it becomes a part of our heritage. If it's bad, you learn from it. And we as a nation have done that so many times in the past when we have corrected the wrongs that were there because we have people who would stand up and adhere to what's in our Constitution. But if you tear it down, there's no way you're going to learn from it. And I was a part of the documentary because we had a Confederate monument here in Pensacola, which was first erected in 1891. simply for the purpose of those families who lost sons and brothers and fathers and uncles, to bring closure to that war. We had those who went off to fight battles and never came back. They never heard from them again. So they were never given a proper burial or being able to say your final moments to those loved ones. So the families in this area put together with private money just a memorial to bring closure to that awful war. Now, that was only part of the documentary. The documentary itself is an hour and a half long. It was excellently done by a John Harris and Andrew Young, who did a fantastic job of putting together that documentary, which went across the U.S. Into the Northeast, into the Northwest, where we see those fanatics on the other side trying to tear down our cultures. And what we saw is that it's almost almost like a demonic religion to them. I mean, they will tear down a statue, then they'll go to the statue and start kicking it. It's a piece of inanimate object of either stone or bronze, and they're kicking it. That doesn't even make sense, Karen. That is how much they have lost their minds. But we as Americans who love this nation, who love our history, who love what the potential we have before us, we cannot just roll over and let them destroy our culture like that.
Well, Mike, I happen to agree with you. You're right on when you say that these people are viewing their anti-culture as a religion. And I believe that when we took God out of school and we stopped saying the pledge, which again, let me remind you all, we are pledging to a republic, not a democracy. And we are thanking God for making this country strong as we are one nation under God. When we stopped saying that, I think that is the exact moment when culture began its big hit to do the major change and to turn America into a socialist, Marxist country. Now, I think people are waking up finally, and that's the good news. And I want to thank Mike for participating, because even though he's not in office anymore, it didn't matter. He still went out and he engaged in unfriendly conversation when explaining why the importance of these monuments and these things of our past, they are so important to our future. If you repeat a mistake over and over and over again because you don't know it, well, one of the things that you learn in economics is that the one who makes the most mistakes is the loser. So by not understanding history, we are repeating the same mistakes over and over again, which means we will lose. And that's not one thing that we want to lose. And that's why we are accepting things like this mandate that Biden is trying to force upon the nation with these COVID vaccines. Well, first of all, a mandate is not a law. A mandate is a request. It is a suggestion. So where are the people saying, no, I'm not going to do that? I was very happy to see that the judge in Texas has finally said, no, there will be no mandate. He has stopped the mandate for all federal workers to be vaccinated in January, pending litigation. And I believe, as a matter of fact, in Florida, we have a special session regarding that, don't we, Mike?
We do, Karen. It's scheduled to start next Monday, November 15th. And thank goodness, Governor DeSantis, who called this special election to fight back against the Biden regime mandates, and he lists a number of things that he wants to make sure are covered in this legislative session, a bill that will be passed. And I was so pleased to see what he has in there. Here's one thing, is to protect current and prospective employees against unfair discrimination on a basis of COVID-19 vaccination status. And another area has to do with children in school. It says to provide adequate enforcement mechanisms to ensure the Florida law is followed and the rights of parents are honored. I'm so pleased to see that. But there's another really important part of this legislation, which I like. And it says get rid of the authority for the state health officer to order forced injections or vaccinations under section 381.00315 of Florida statutes, originally enacted in 2002. I bet a lot of your listeners didn't know that, Karen.
No.
Currently existing in Florida statute, if there is declared a health emergency, the state health officer, according right now to Florida statute, has authority to force injections or vaccinations on Floridians. Well, this special election will repeal that. And I was so pleased and glad to see that that's going to be a part of this special section. Also, clarifying that the Parents' Bill of Rights in Chapter 1014 of the Florida statutes vests the decision on masking with parents, not government entities, and that schools must comply with Department of Health rules that govern student health, including rules that ensure healthy students can remain in school. Sounds a lot like common sense to me, Karen, but unfortunately, those on the left don't have that kind of common sense, so we have to pass legislation to protect us.
Isn't that sad? Rather than using common sense, and a lot of people have said to me, well, we have to take the polio vaccine. Yeah, we had to take the polio vaccine. How many years was it tested? How many years has it been around before we know in the polio vaccine is A, B, C? It could affect you this way. It could affect you that way. Why do we know that? Because we have tested it. What has been tested with this vaccine? Nothing. And it's almost like that bill that says we have to use it before we can find out what's in it. That's not the way medicine should work. Medicine should be given out after all of the ramifications are noted so that a person that has one of those diseases would know, I'm going to take it, I'm not going to take it. So a mandate, folks, again, is not a bill. It really has no teeth. Get a hold of your governor, get a hold of your elected official, and make sure that they follow what's going on in Florida and Texas. You have it in your power. You saw that in Virginia. You saw that in New Jersey. And right now, the Democrats, the only thing that they have in their favor is giving out money to illegal immigrants rather than taking care of the American citizen. Mike, I want to thank you so much. Please tell everybody where they can find your documentary and where they can find you, and come back again because this was a great conversation.
Oh, Karen, it's always an honor and a pleasure for me to be on your show. People can reach me at MikeHillConservative.com. That's MikeHillConservative.com. Where they can find the documentary, I don't know. It has been released so recently. I just received my copy of it last night, so I'm not sure where it is that they can go online, but eventually I'm sure it's going to come out, and I will then share that with you so you can share it with your audience.
And that will be terrific. Thank you again, Mike Hill. This is Karen Schoen. You are listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Don't touch that screen. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed ourselves. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Back, everyone. Thank you all for hanging with me. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. I wanted to talk to you about some things that are going on in Florida, only because whatever goes on in Florida eventually will get to the rest of the country. So you can be ahead of the curve and you can look for these things as they go on in your state, and believe me, they will. First of all, to think that critical race theory is not being taught in school, think again. It is being taught in school. It does not come under the name of critical race theory. It will come in a department of diversity, equity, or inclusion, or some kind of jolly name like that. But the focus on social emotional learning is filtered throughout every single subject. So you may not see it in the printed word of your child's edition, but you certainly would hear it from the teacher's mouth. So you have to be careful and you have to pay attention to what's going on in school. In addition, the Florida Citizens Alliance has got their latest book review of the pornography that we have found in Florida schools. Go to the Alliance. You can go to goflca.com, join the Alliance, and take a look at the on the tab for legislature and see if those books are also in your child's media center library. That's where you will find them. You won't find them as a textbook, but you will find them as supplemental materials. It is very important that you take this material and read it to your school board. Read it, send an email, send a letter, do a post and put it in your newspaper and say, look what I found in our schools. The only way that we are going to get our departments of education to listen to us is if we pull our kids out of school. And more kids are being pulled out of school. And I was just on a conference call with Defend Florida and listened to the people in Broward County who said, the school board has listened to us. They have decided that mask mandates are not a good idea, that parents should be responsible for their children to wear masks. Now, why would they do that? Because in the next sentence, Joe said, well, 13,000 students were taken out of school and are now being homeschooled. That is a tremendous amount of money that Broward County just lost. That's the only way to succeed. It is the only thing they care about. They are not interested in us. They are not interested in our children. They are only interested in money. So if we deprive them of their source, we might get an audience. Another thing that I found out, and this is something that we all have to check, and I was very disheartened to find this out. Apparently, we know that the illegals are being brought into the states in the middle of the night. Okay, so then what happens? Well, they're being put on buses, and then they're being driven into local communities. And then what happens? We have to follow the money. The way that this works is that an NGO, non-government organization, gets a donation from some group like some George Soros or Bill Gates group, or even the federal government from HHS. They will get a grant. And then they turn around and go into a community and they tell the people in the community, a grant is available if you take care of these people. So who did they turn to? They turned to mostly the religious organizations. So you will find in your community that the religious organizations are now taking care of illegals. When I heard that, I said, I have to talk to Pastor Rick and see if he's heard of anything like that also, because I heard that this is a huge cash cow, and many of the religious organizations, and I do know for a fact, one of them is Catholic Charities, and another one is a Hebrew Association, so it has nothing to do with denomination. It just has to do with who's there to get the money. They are down at the border accepting these authorities and taking this money. Pastor Rick, what do you think about that? I can't believe that one.
Well, just when you think it can't get any worse, you hear something new like this. It's just really kind of amazing. I've been wondering what the incentive was for this whole relocation of illegal immigrants. And when you discovered this follow the money scheme, that makes a lot more sense. And I think a lot of people don't realize what goes on. And to be real honest, it's being done in secret. There are plenty of reports in Florida that these flights are being made in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. The governor talked about that recently. So it's not like we're making this up, or it's not some kind of weird conspiracy theory. People are seeing this and are aware of that. The curious thing to me was, then what? And you've just answered that from the people you've talked to. People are doing it for the money. And we need to be alert to that and aware of that. And nobody should be surprised. Nobody should be surprised that these things involve power and money. And that's what drives a lot of this behavior. It's not about following the law. It's not about doing the right thing. It's not about helping these people. I mean, if we were going to help these people, we wouldn't be putting them in the position they're in. And so now we're just making their problem worse and making it worse for these local communities that are not even hardly aware of what's happening. And I like what the governor said, that they're investigating this. They're doing what they can to put a stop to it. He has even said that in Florida, when the state finds out that a company is doing business with the federal government on this relocation stuff, that the state of Florida will stop doing business with them. We'll stop any contracts they have with them. Something's got to be done. We just can't let this continue. It's an immoral act that the government is doing. It's illegal. And maybe worst of all, if you get right down to it, it hurts these people that are desperate for a better life and are apparently being pushed away from their countries and from the help they should get at home onto some other place. And they're just desperate. And we're not helping anybody with what we're doing, just making it worse.
Yes, we are. Kudos to Governor DeSantis, because he is doing something. But I think it's a little bit too little too late. I would like to see him say, we will meet the buses and we will drive these buses up to Hyannisport, up to DC, up to anywhere. Let the lefties who are pushing this experience what it really means, because they're not. They're pushing it on the rest of us and hoping that we'll be silent. And then we go to our REC, which I ask everyone, join your REC. It is not that I love Republicans. I don't. But there are so many open seats in our precincts that we have the ability to actually make an impact. They will have to listen to us if we bring members into our REC. But when we go to our local REC, like I did recently, and I said, illegals are coming. What are we going to do if they come here? And the rhino answer was, well, Karen, you know, the farmers need the workers, and we're going to make sure that they all are e-verified. Really? So you're anticipating that the federal government are going to give all of these people green cards and that the farmers are going to employ them. Really, let's take a quick look at what's going on in California, because only 2% of the illegals are working in agriculture. Only 2%.
What does that say about those people? I mean, they're saying they're going to get jobs. They're going to be exploited by the industries that are supposedly hiring them. It's all coming down on those desperate people, and we're not helping them when we allow them to go from one exploitation to another. It's the wrong thing to do. It's not a solution. And we need to straighten this out. There's no question about it. It is absolutely damaging to everybody involved.
You are so right. I also ask everyone to go to your local county or your city meetings when they have their BOCC meeting or whatever it is that they're calling it in your county, and pay attention when an NGO comes into your community and says, we have grant money if you will build low income housing. Be careful. Biden put back in place affirmatively furthering fair housing. What does that mean? If your local government needs money for roads, needs money for schools, needs money for everything, along with that, when it comes from HUD, will be a disclosure which no one reads. And that disclosure says that your community agrees that they have to have a certain percentage of low-income housing. Really? So if my community needs a road that we have given in tax money over to the feds that they're supposed to be giving back to us so that we can build these roads, we won't be able to do that unless we agree to low-income housing. Think about that. I was just told in Jupiter in Florida, they have built, listen to this one, folks, they are building 3-floor apartment buildings with 3 and 4 bedrooms and no elevator, and they are calling it senior apartments. Tell me what senior is going to walk up 3 flights of stairs? What senior needs a 4-bedroom apartment? They are lying, we know it, and they are filling those apartments with illegals. And this is the way the game is working. So, Pastor, do you think it would be a good idea to go to your church community and find out if your church is involved and find out what's going on within your community?
Well, I think people always need to do that. They need to be aware of what's happening. It's sad. I mean, I hate to say this, but it's no longer safe to assume that the people you once had confidence in are going to do the right thing. You need to make sure they're doing the right thing. We can be polite about it, but we need to be firm to find out what's really happening, because they're asking us to support things that we may not support. And it's fair for them to tell us what they're doing and to help us understand what's going on and give us the opportunity to object, because they are our churches and we ought to claim them as belonging to us and not allow somebody to hijack them for other purposes. It makes sense, just common sense, for people to check and find out what's going on. Unfortunately, I'm afraid in some situations they will find out to their horror what's going on. I learned of some people just recently that they've decided they're going to have to leave their church. They're from another state, but they decided they can't stay in their church any longer because of the way the church is behaving. Well, you know, sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to say no, and we have to go to a church that will support what the Bible says and support helping people in the right way, not exploiting people all along the way.
I could not agree more. And it's sad when you have to do that, but the only way that you're going to get anybody's attention is by acting. By being silent and by complaining doesn't help. You have to act. And even if it means that you have to leave something and start something new, so be it, because that's what this fight is all about. We can no longer sit silent, and we cannot think of these people as Americans. There is absolutely nothing that they are doing that has not been planned. Every single thing that they're doing in order to destroy America is part of their plan. The Mises Institute has excellent article. It's a 5-part series on understanding the Great Reset and what it really means. What it really means is exactly what Klaus Schwab said. By 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy. He actually should have said, you will own nothing and I will be happy. I thought that would be a better thing for him to say. But this is exactly what their intent is. And if we don't stop it, shame on us. Here's another thing to look at, Pastor, that I just found out. We have so many people moving down to Florida. We all think, isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, there is a club that was called the Escapees Club, and this is an RV group. What does RV mean? Recreational vehicle. These are vehicles that you don't live in. You use them when you're going on a trip. You may want to live in them, but basically it's to keep you mobile. That's what's important. I want to be mobile. I want to be able to go out and be free and go see whatever it is that I want to see when I want to go. Well, that's great. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to do. However, this particular club says, if you participate in this club and are a member and decide to go to any state like Florida or Texas, the club will provide you with a phone number and a mailbox that you will be able to use for all of your legal paperwork, such as getting a new driver's license or registering to vote. Now, what do you think that's all about, Pastor?
That sounds like a scheme to manage or to manipulate, I guess we should say, the voting process in a lot of states, because they're trying to make people residents who aren't intending to be residents. And we in Florida have always welcomed people that come for a visit and who are here for a part of the year. They come to escape the winter. But this idea of making people appear to be residents is simply a way to get around or attempt to get around the law. It's probably illegal. They're just trying to get around it in a way so they can vote in multiple areas and stuff the ballot box. That's what it sounds like to me.
We have to get involved with our recs. We have to get involved with whatever group is protesting, whatever it is that we can protest, and show those leaders who are supporting us that we support them, because they're not going to get anything from the Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber of Horrors, as we say, and they're certainly not going to get anything from any of the unions. So we, the people, have to support them. Isn't there a demonstration going on? Florida Citizens Alliance is supporting it.
There is a rally. It's on Tuesday afternoon in Tallahassee. It's in support of the governor's initiative. People may be aware that here in Florida, the governor has taken a strong stand to protect the people from the vaccine mandates and to give them the opportunity to make their own decisions without risking losing their jobs. He's taken a strong stand to give parents the right to decide the same things about their children and to not have the vaccine forced on their kids, or wearing masks forced on their kids, or in some cases, kids have been kept from school out of the misguided attempt to keep the virus at bay. And so they've been missing school, perfectly healthy kids kept out of school. So he's taking steps to strengthen the parents' Bill of Rights. And the special session starts on Monday. It will end at noon on Friday. And so a bunch of groups across Florida have gotten together to speak out on Tuesday afternoon in favor of what the governor is doing and in support of that legislation. We think it's important for people to speak out when the governor does the right thing, when the Speaker of the House does the right thing, when the President of the Senate does the right thing, and let them know we're supporting them. Because sometimes we think all we need to do is complain about it when they do the wrong thing, and we should. But when they do the right thing, they need to know that we've got their backs, because someone will always criticize them. They need to know that we're supportive. And so we, along with a lot of other groups, are rallying in Tallahassee on Tuesday to let the governor know and the members of the House and Senate know that we support his initiative, and we want them to take a strong position to protect the rights of people in Florida. It's absolutely essential. It's the first responsibility of government to defend the rights of the people, and that's what we want them to do.
And it seems as though too many of them have forgotten about the people, and that's why we have to make our presence known. And Pastor is so right. When your elected official does something good, do you tell them, thank you? No, We don't. And that's shame on us, but we sure rag at them when they do something bad. So we have to flip it around and say, Governor DeSantis, we support you, because he is certainly not getting support from any of the unions or the Chamber of Horrors or the farmers associations and the school districts, the unions. I believe he even levied a fine against one county because they refused to pay attention to what his executive order was regarding the masks. And that was a good thing to do. So thank you very much, Governor DeSantis. And folks, just to make sure everybody understands, Governor DeSantis is running for governor, not president. He is running for governor in 2022, which means his term will last until 2026, which means that if he lives up to his word, which I have no reason to doubt, he will not run for governor in 2024. Because he will not run for president in 2024 because he will be in the middle of his term as governor. So please, if you see people holding up signs that say DeSantis 2024, remind them, first, he's got to be governor, and we need him for 4 years. And he is dedicated and has said that he is dedicated to the fact that he will be in office for those 4 years. And that is extremely important because Florida, especially now, oh, Pastor, I want to share something with you that I thought you would get a big kick of. We have a lot of people moving to Florida. Guess who I heard is going to be moving to Florida?
I can hardly imagine.
They can't stand the fact that Florida is now red, and we have been, I think we are 12,000 shy of taking over Florida as a red state in registrations. But I heard this morning that Mark Zuckerberg and Nancy Pelosi are buying houses in Florida. Now, isn't that just wonderful?
Yeah, that is amazing. They must be trying to escape the high taxes of the other states where they've been living. And I understand why they would want to, but I hope they don't bring their politics with them, although I'm pretty sure they will.
You can be sure that they are dedicated. There are groups, there are hundreds of groups all over Florida who have been getting mega amounts of money to go spread the evils of the globalist party. And that's what I will call them now. They are no longer the Democrat Party. They are the globalist party. And just so that we understand who globalists are, so that you all understand that everything that they're doing has been done and has been planned to be done, is that these people believe that once you are born, you are a citizen of the world. And as a result of you being a citizen of the world, you have the right to go and move into any country that you want. And that receiving country has to take care of you. And that's part of the problem as to why we have seen such an influx of illegals coming into America, because the borders are open. And all we have to do is turn our sights and look at Europe and see what's in store for America. And it is not good. But I have a feeling that once the people go through this devastating winter and see what the home heating oil prices are, that things will be turning around quite easily, because Americans have a bad habit. We don't get engaged unless it really hurts. And I think that this is going to really hurt. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, I think it's hurting now. And if it gets worse, it's going to hurt even more. And yes, it's obviously not about helping the people. There's other agendas going on. And we need to push back against that. And we need to remind each other that this is what happens. You know, I haven't lived forever, but I've lived long enough to watch how that when people with this ideology are put in positions where they can make decisions, these kind of things have consistently happened. And why we're surprised, I'm not sure, but some of us aren't surprised, that's certain. But other people seem to be surprised that things are going in the wrong direction. And And this happened just like this in other times. We just can't let this continue. It's got to stop, or it'll crush too many regular people. That's who suffer. The big guys don't suffer, but the people, the moms and pops, the salt of the earth people, they're the ones that suffer, and we got to help them.
We certainly do. And if we think that the supply chain is a problem now, hold on, folks, because what is going to be happening by design, on purpose, that's what that means, by design. It means it's being done on purpose. And one just had to listen to the press conference the other day where the spokesperson was asked about home heating oil and why we don't open up some of the more of America's reserves. So some of actually not even the reserves, our actual oil fields, that we have a huge abundance of oil. Why are the prices going up? Because the government regulates and is regulated the oil industry out of business. Their goal is to bankrupt the oil industry. Why? Basically because they don't own it. If they owned it, and if the government was totally immersed in it, then they wouldn't be interested in closing America's oil fields. However, it's owned and mostly developed by private industry, the oil industry. And she laughed when she was told that the oil prices will go higher. Folks, they don't care. That's the hard part to remember. They don't care. So by their mandates and by their insane regulations, the EPA and HHS and our federal government has managed to put the truck drivers out of business. Now, why do you think they did that? Oh, my goodness. Could that be a reason as to why illegals are being funneled into America? Do you think some of them may drive trucks? Do you think some of them may be taking over those, quote, jobs at a lesser rate of pay? I think we have that to look out for, because whatever policies are being put in place right now, we all know are not going to work. So, Pastor, as usual, unfortunately, we're coming to the close of the show, and we need a prayer. This has been a heck of a week.
Well, I'm happy to contribute a prayer. I think that is one of the things that we, the people, need to do as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the desperate times that we live in and the many factors that are hurting many people. And we realize that this is a battle essentially between good and evil. And we pray, like we have often prayed, that you would deliver us from evil. Protect the people out there that are most vulnerable. Give courage to the rest of us that need to stand up for that which is right. And move us in your direction so that we can move our country in the right direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, vigilance. We have to be vigilant. We have to protect our own communities. We have to think local, and we have to think that the enemy is upon us. They're here. We are not waiting for them anymore. They are here. They're in our communities, and it's going to be up to us to expose them and get rid of them. And that's your job for this week. How many groups, how many new NGOs have come into your community this week offering something? Be on the lookout. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education. And that is brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.com with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Now more than ever, go to the Alliance, go to the website, participate, learn what's happening, and learn what you can do in your community. Pastor Rick, thank you as always. See you all again next week. But I always